Hello, this is the Hot Jollof Podcast. This week, we will be doing something quite unorthodox. And it's something I think, as much as the Nigerian society would love to conceal, is worth highlighting. When I thought of presenting today's podcast on this topic, my most trouble was with the matter of perspective. I tried to find my way through appreciating the art as a thing in itself without recourse to validating the act that the artists mirror through their individual creative conventions. Much like my dilemma, I'd assume it was the same for the artists who tried their art on this topic. That said, the perspective I chose on this topic was to weigh the art behind the artists' songs by their own merit, that is, their own worth, without recourse to the validity or moral consequence of the act itself. The chief criteria for ranking these songs is the performance of the song, which lends credence to believability. In my opinion, the authentic expression of how good an artist is by how well they can mirror reality by their works. The following artists have mirrored cybercrime as a feature of our society, and by their creativity have given pop culture relevance to the topic and opened it up for discussion. Without further ado, I'd like us to check out the list that I wrote down, and I hope I didn't leave out any of your favorites. Number 10, I went with Reminisces Too Much. One of the first things that set a great artist on another level than, say, a good artist is style. There has to be a distinct creative persona in the artist that attracts the kind of attention which is needed to market their art. I have heard a lot of people talk about how this artist sounds like another artist. And I don't think anybody in this industry sounds exactly like Reminisce. Not that I know of. Perhaps if there were, I would have heard some way somehow. This his style comes to play on the song Too Much, which I heard years ago back in Lagos. And one of the things that struck my naive self about the song more than the opulence of his state on the song was the shout out he gave on the song. The hooks of the song, the first and second hook, most especially, had that appeal for me because I don't think I was familiar with the lingo as I am right now. The song paints imageries of luxurious living, which was carried by Reminisce's rich, raspy voice, of course. And it's basically telling women who are appealed to that kind of stuff that there was money to blow and there were places to see. He talked about his international connections in Malaysia and called all of their names on the song with that same lingo. While I'm not insinuating anything about that location, I think it's an artistic eye-opener of some sort into that kind of life which many will never taste. The song has great hip-hop bop to it too, so... And I'd recommend it if it is one of those songs to get your gangster vibe to. Number 9 song for me is one song many people do not know, and one song I found out by chance when I was listening to MTV some time ago. It's Elenion's Yahoo Lawon Remi. Omo, see, this song does not give a fuck about your moral high ground. From the first clang of the gongon to the conga drums that it introduces after it, the song will drag you from your pedestal for a dance. I am not joking. And if I'm being honest, this song would be higher up the list if it were not for the language barrier for some of those who would be listening right now who do not understand Yoruba. Look, I live for bop songs, and this song, as much as the artistic sincerity was poured all over the lyrics, is such a great bop song, and I don't think there is too much instrumentation or complexity of description on the artist's part, and it makes the content easy to digest for the partying crowd in such a way that not many bop songs out there can, if it is conveying this theme in the song, you know. And one thing I also find fascinating about this song is the fact that it's one of those memorable songs that do not rely on the call and answer patterns of most songs as a way to get artists and audience participation. The simplicity of the hook suffices for that part of the song, and even as the song goes on for more than 3 minutes, you are sure to be sweaty from the dance floor or bopping your head in your corner to the musicality, regardless of the theme of the song, if you are somebody who is very moral about the kind of songs you listen to. Fine song needs expose that calls out those who leech on cybercrime and friends for a living. If you need a bob for your party and you want a song of the same thematic context, you should have Elenion's Yahoo Lawon Remy on rotation. Very beautiful song. Check it out. On number 8, I would go with Small Doctor's Penalty. Here's why. Davido's post Son of Mercy album run started with fire, and what made that song what it was the depth of the lyrics. For instance, Davido, more than on any other song before that time, showed artistic vulnerability, and it was believable. It brought back Davido's mojo, and he wrote that wave, and he's been riding it ever since then on 2 albums now. I mean, what lent this vulnerability to that song was the lyrics as much as the performance, one of which was, "If you no get money, hide your face." That saying would forever have its place in Nigerian music pop culture history. And if Small Doctor had not released Penalty in 2016, I don't think that saying would have popped up, if you understand what I'm trying to get at. Penalty is quite unpretentious about the theme of getting money by all means, as no one cares if you are broke. All of this might be lost in the infectious melody of the song, a little lamba here and there, and you'd almost forget you are listening to a song that is telling you not to sleep on your grind while it's shouting out some street lingo for cyber crimes. I like how that part is almost unnoticeable. I have heard a lot of artists speak, and I would say Small Doctor is one of those who are more articulate about their ideas than any other bunch of them. I'd say he's top 10 in my books of artists who are articulate about ideas. I mean, when it boils down to reflecting things as he sees them, he knows how to say them. That's what I think. And I don't think it was an error that he played safe with the team by backgrounding the message and letting the tune ride over it, the melody just simmering, that kind of stuff. So it shouldn't be lost on you, and if it is, you should totally go down that nostalgia lane and listen again to the song "Get Grooving to Penalty" by Small Doctor. Number 7 on the list for me would be Nice's "Living Things." This song was one of those songs that raised storm on this topic when it was released, and I think some of the grouse is misguided. It's not the artist's job to model the best of society's behavior. We have pastors, we have imams for that, we have priests for that. The artist's job is to mirror society as it is. If society has a problem, the artist can reflect it by satire or by any means the artist chooses. The society cannot be corrupt and have artists who reflect the good of society only. It makes no sense to me, but that's just my perception. Going back to Nice's "Living Things," the song, like the other songs on this list, is such a groovy song with a message lost in the sweet melody. The message, as I perceive, and I do not like to speak for artists, so it is my perception, that if the artistic persona is not living the fullest of financial potential, he is merely existing and he cannot wait to get that money to be able to do those things that will make him a living thing. Which of course alludes to financial or cybercrime. As long as there is money to be a living thing, the artist does not care. You get. It's not much of a strong song, as it is bare representation of what life can be like on that end. As when he said that, I loosely translate to those who I know work from day to night and night till day, most of what was said in Yoruba. If that was deliberate and he just rules over details, then that's good for him, but I think if he were a little bit stronger on language, it would have helped the topic become more effective if I'm saying something of musical strategy here. He also shouts out some very popular people like Raymond Abad, Sosh Poppy, as you know him. That's artistic exaggeration. That also is also on him, and I wouldn't know, because even foreign artists shout out drug dealers and they don't know them. I don't blame him for anything, sure. Number six song on me for me on this list is Naira Marley and Zlatan's Am I a Yahoo Boy. As much as I am not the one to believe serendipitous events make for good art, I have seen over time how we can make for the best art if the elements are right. As a creative, I know that. And one of such songs on this topic in Nigerian music history is Am I a Yahoo Boy. I don't think this song was planned, and if it was, I would say excellent execution to everybody involved to make it seem as if it was unplanned. Because I was on Twitter when Naira Marley had a fallout with Simi because of an altercation during an event they had both been a part of. Naira Marley wasn't as blown as he was, or as he is now, and I think it was kind of judgmental that many presumed his streams to be from some kind of illegal business of some sort. He was fresh out of It's a Goal, and Coca-Cola had brought Simi and some other artists on the remix, if I recall correctly. So I don't really understand how they had gone about to being on each other's neck from that remix on that particular evening. And trust Twitter to stoke the fire when somebody inferred Naira Marley was a Yahoo Boy from Simi's tweet. Naira Marley retweeted something along the lines of Simi see trouble, am I a Yahoo Boy, as a play on words. And it kind of stuck, if you understand what I mean creatively. What came from that interpolation of those words was one of the biggest street anthems of the past decade. It's funny how the artist was not even renouncing the allegation of cybercrime, but was just teasing for further probing when he was being accused of such. Maybe not accused, because... Let's say accused, because the FCC was on his neck for some time after that song, and it was like he was asking for a bite and taunting people. I don't think anybody in Nigerian music industry has done a diss track as neat as that, with the way he taunted Simi on that song, even on Soapy and the other follow-up songs, in a way that it doesn't even give streams or attention to the other artists. It's like a song about lifestyle, and for once, it did not mention anything derogatory towards the target, even though it was a diss song. It's the execution for me, man, and big ups to Naira Marley for that song. If you need a crack at the Naira Marley pack to get into your bag to diss somebody without giving them money and taking everything for yourself, blaze up some Am I a Yahoo Boy today to relax your nerves, okay? Number 5 song for me on this list would be Eriga and Victor Eddie's Motivation. One thing I love about Eriga's artistry has to be the uniqueness of his storytelling. His perspective on matters might be uncomfortable or controversial, but there's no sugarcoating realities there. Most of his songs, like Motivation, have a simplicity in language construction, even as a rapper, and I think that is mighty impressive considering the notion that rappers are always expected to speak in lofty language. I'm not oblivious to the poetry of language that rappers are expected to assume when they discuss things, but Eriga seems not to care for these things, and he does it so well in the Nigerian pidgin parlance that you cannot help but love. The song does not hold back on the motivations that push artistic persona into cybercrime. Things like societal expectations, poverty, proving doubters wrong, and the allure of luxury, which artistic persona would otherwise not have if not for the way of life that comes with financial crimes. The depth of storytelling is most impressive, even as impressive as the musicality of the song itself. It tells of youthful profligacy, prodigality as a lifestyle for those who encounter money as easily as financial crimes can bring it. The song also has impeccable technical and sonic relevance, aside the theme it discusses. The production, mad. The delivery of the chorus, mad. The rap cadence, mad. Overall, great song for me. I mean, even the artistic persona mentions on one of the lines that he's not proud of what he does, to show you how rueful he is of it. But what can one do, basically? So that's my number five song, Erica and Victor Edi, Motivation. Number four song for me on this list would be Kelly Handsome's MAGA Don't Pay. This song had so many people in their feelings when it came out, and I doubt the song would be as big as it is now as when it came out. Why I think so is that when this song was out, public opinion was not formed more from social media influencers than from individual perception. People could still be cats, individual thinkers, instead of sheep following social media influencers and celebrity influencers and all of that stuff. The song was so big that it had a counter song from big artists in the industry countering the song with MAGA No Need Pay and all of that. Not many people can recall any other song Kelly Handsome song during his career, or the fact that he has a long string of beefs with other artists. But when it comes on, when this song comes on, you get the feeling that you are a cybercrime con artist getting paid for some reason. I don't know how he did it. The man was dropping legit OG codes to the game, and it flew past all of our heads when it dropped. The topic is executed with a sophistication that cannot be replicated in today's music industry, and I think I like it that way because it's genuine. You can tell it's genuine from the way the artist executed it, the cadence of the artist. And even on such a topic, you want to sing along with them, even if you have not done a single day of cybercrime in your life. It's the charisma for me, basically, with which he carried the song, and it was his downfall also, because that song brought him more powerful haters than fans, and God help his soul. I wonder where he is now, Sha. Yeah, so if you want to get in your cybercrime bag, you should totally listen to Kelly Handsome's MAGA Don't Pay. Number three song for me on this list is Bella Shmurda's Cash App featuring Zlatan and Lincoln, I think. Lincoln. I beg, Mark Bamicho. That's his name, Lincoln. I've not heard any other song from Lincoln. I think I would go and look for songs from him. And interpolating Skibby's hook, because when I heard the song the first time, I heard Ice on My Neck, Ice on My Wrist, you know, that's a star do. And the song that came after was this song. That was the first time I heard it. And it carried an aura of conviction right from that interpolation throughout the storytelling of the song. The song has such a strong vibe, and as I mentioned, if you're looking for role models on morals, look for priests and imams and pastors, as artists will only tell you what they see from society. This song is a coming of each song from Vision 2020, where I think the lyrics were a little careful, even as explicit as they were on this topic. Bella Shmurda kind of knows where he is as an artist in the industry, as one who can speak for a society he perceives as an authentic mouthpiece of that lifestyle. And I think it paid off bigly in a way, for him at least, and for the topic that he was relaying. On this song, much like Bella's delivery, I like how he paints the lifestyle as a hamster's wheel going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. That kind of aspect that he gave to the song. That this persona always has to be on the grind, because like a predator, you don't know when you'd finally strike and get that good life that you seek. it's in the lyrics basically, like, many days I never sleep, chasing the good life, and mama, I take the risk, and all of that stuff. Very beautiful storytelling. The artistic persona also tells the story of how you have to be careful and watch out for the law, even in the chase, because all it takes is one time and it's fuck you for some years from the cops, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I like the desperation in his voice too. It's very beautiful performance, because it's like he's telling you what he's doing, even if it's an artistic persona or artistic perspective. It's very believable and a beautiful performance, if you ask me, from everybody involved on the song. Number two song on this list for me is Olu Maintains Ya Uzi. Let's put this in perspective. Imagine a Nigerian musician drops a song today and the Secretary of State of the United States is dancing to this song on camera, and the song is about financial crime. Let's say, for instance, a Naira Marley drops a song and the Secretary of State of the United States is dancing to his song about financial crime. Do you get how fucking phenomenal that is? That was how that song was for that era, man. It's an elite cybercrime song, if there's any such thing as that phrase. Like, see, this thing they bust my head. If they've gathered all the cybercrime songs for this world, they put them for one meeting, this song has to be the chairman, because there's no doing it bigger than this, man. If you're not a big boy when this song dropped, I'm sorry for you and your girlfriend, because you could legit get bullied out of your relationship if this song came on in a club and you were unfortunate to be there with your girlfriend with richer guys lurking around. This song is a placeholder in Nigerian music industry, like many other classics from that period. You could tell where you were when the song was released, because it was everywhere, and it was the first viral pop culture reference to cybercrime, I believe. I'm not sure. I'd have to check that later. And it painted the lifestyle as much as the grind behind it. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, working. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, flexing and all that stuff. I agree that we could get better production from this era for that song, but since we're not discussing production quality here as much as thematic execution, I would say the song still bangs and deserves to be number two on this list. Number one on this list for me is, drumroll, number one on this list for me is Nkem Owo's I Go Chop Your Dollar. Why is this number one for me? I don't know. It's very personal. This song is culture. It is unmatched to me. When it comes to this topic in artistic expression, this song is unmatched. Like, it set the template for artistry that borders on this theme from any artist whatsoever. It lays the format for how cyber crime and financial crimes work, and if you pay attention, you would realize the genius of the language employed in relaying this information. The song opened up a lot of doors for actors who wanted to be musicians too, and most of which were born for even trying. Yeah, I'm looking at Genevieve and Tonto Dike's picture as I speak, and I can't hold myself from laughing. I think only Mama G did good on this note. Who again sang? I think Omotola Jalade Kende sang too, and God have mercy on their souls and those people who were listening to the song at the time that they dropped. What helped this song and stands it out from the other songs in shaping the storytelling and musicality of this theme is the fact that it was actually a theme song to a movie, and I recall hearing the song from the movie and how well it shaped the movie because of the movie. It was very intrinsical to the movie. I don't think if the movie and the theme song, man, you can't take one away from the other. You just have to see the movie to appreciate the song, and you have to see the song to appreciate the movie. That's just how it is for me, and I don't think anybody could have done better than Nkem Owo did with this art. There's no adjective I can use to qualify what I feel like whenever I listen to the song. I like the braggadocio of the artist, where it's like when a con artist gets away with their crime perfectly, and it just reflects the high of invisibility that they feel afterwards. You understand? It's like that bragging feeling that, okay, look, I can do this and I can get away with it, nothing will happen, and that kind of stuff. You just want to dance to the song too, and man, Nkemowo, I could chop your dollar, number one song for me on this theme. And if you think this list was correctly put together, you should totally look out for this jam and get your Sunday off to good Jollof content. What can I say? This is the Hot Jollof Podcast, and I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Stay healthy, drink water, exercise, and check in next week for another episode of Hot Jollof Podcast. I hope to catch you very soon. Ciao!